Blog Talk Radio.
Have life
and that you might have it more abundantly. And this life that Jesus is talking about is the supernatural life that we have been given to live by because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So then, we've got to get into this Word of God that teaches us what we have in Christ Jesus and how God has ordained and made provisions for us to live above any situation, any circumstance that the enemy would bring towards us. And so let's look at it. Let's begin first looking Ephesians 2, 4 through 10, and I'm reading Amplified Bible. It says, "But God, so rich in his mercy," see, God loves us, you know. He loved us so much he sent his own son. He poured himself into an earthen vessel. Hallelujah. "But God, so rich in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us." Oh, what love is this? That a man would lay down his life for his friend. God poured himself, prepared himself a body to come and pay the price for the sin that was brought into the world through the fall of Adam. When Adam gave this world system over to Satan. And that's why we have to have this supernatural power to live above those things that Satan has planned to steal, to kill, and destroy us. So let's read on, Ephesians 2, 4 through 10, Amplified Bible. Verse 5 says, "Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, we found ourselves in disconnected from God's state because of the fall of Adam." When Adam fell, Adam passed this sin nature to every person born from that point. Boom. And we couldn't save ourselves, so God poured himself into an earthen vessel to save us. So let's look again. It says, "Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself." See, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the old sin nature person that's not connected to God dies. And the Holy Spirit comes into us, replacing that old dead spirit with a new spirit, a new life. We are new in Christ Jesus. Let's read on. "He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him," or quickened Jesus. "For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve." Hallelujah. We didn't deserve it. We hadn't done anything to earn it. You can't earn it. Hallelujah. We were disconnected due to the fall of Adam. And so Jesus came to give us this life as we receive him as our Lord and Savior. Let's read on here. "He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, that you did not deserve, that you are saved. You are delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation." See, we were buried with Christ, and we were raised to newness of life in Christ Jesus when you receive him as your Lord and Savior. See, Jesus has already done the work. He did it over 2,000 years ago for every man alive. But every man alive won't walk in this supernatural power, won't walk in this new life, because the way to this new life, the way to our reconnect to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said it over in John 14, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's John 14. Let me just slip over there. John 14, 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the word of the living God. Hallelujah. Let's read. We're still reading now in Ephesians 2, 4 through 10, and we're at verse 7. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace. Have mercy. Not only did he give us life, he's given us riches also. His unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ. See, in Christ. Christ being your Lord and Savior. That's the first step. And we'll pause in a little bit to lead those who want to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. And we'll pause in a minute to do that. Verse 8, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved. Hallelujah. You can't do a thing to earn your salvation. Oh, glory. See, when you willingly come to God through Jesus, making Jesus your Lord and Savior, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, believing that he died for your sins and was raised from the dead, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You got to believe that. You got to confess him as your Lord and Savior. In fact, let's just stop right here and now, because, see, that's the starting point. See, we want to be talking about how you move from the natural to the supernatural in terms of living this life. But the first step, if you want to live above those situations and circumstances that are confronting you right now, let's just make Jesus your Lord and Savior right now. Say this with me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you hung on the cross for me, that you died and went to hell and was raised from the dead, that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I believe this in my heart, and I say out of my mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, for I do turn from my past, and I turn to you. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for saving me. See, salvation only comes when you make Jesus your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit, if you said that and you meant it in your heart, the Spirit of God has come on the inside of you to make you new. You are now a new being, a new species, a new being with the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And your spirit connected to the Spirit of the living God. Have mercy. Oh, that is wonderful. That puts you in right standing with God. And we're going to read about that in a little bit, because that's what gives you this supernatural power, that you can live this life of a believer in this world, in this time. It's not for when you get to heaven. I mean, that's the only way you're going to get to heaven, of course, when you leave this body. But God prepared the way for us to live above situations and circumstances of this life in a supernatural way because of the new birth, or your receiving Jesus as your Lord. Again, reading verse 8, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving. You can't earn it. But it is a gift of God. Hallelujah. The gift of God. Glory to God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demand, lest any man should boast. It is the result anyone can. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do. So no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. We're new. Hallelujah. That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths, see, which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. Listen, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. If you are not living the good life, if you are not able to live above terrible situations and circumstances of life, then you need to be born again. You need to get into this word and find out what God has given you through salvation, through making Jesus your Lord. And see, if you haven't, if you didn't pray that prayer with me, you need to pray it. Romans 10:9-10. You can read that and repeat that prayer and make Jesus your Lord and Savior so you can live this good life. Now, let's see. We're talking, how do we move from this old natural way of living to the new life? And so in order for you to walk in this supernatural power, you must know what the scriptures have to say about this new life in Christ Jesus and what it has purchased for you and how you are to walk in it. See, in the past, before you were born again, you had the old sin nature. Sin was natural to you. But now you don't have that sin nature if you've made Jesus your Lord. You have the nature of Christ on the inside of you. Christ lives on the inside of you. And so those old ways of operating by the flesh, you no longer operate that way or should not. See, it is a decision that you make. Jesus has paid the price. He has made the way. He has prepared the path to the good life. But the path through the good life is by receiving what this word has to say about it and understanding that the God has already done for you, and so you can walk in it. And see, when the enemy knocks at your door and you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you can say, oh, no, not here, because I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. I am not of this world. I am of the kingdom of God, and I operate according to the dictates of the kingdom of God. And the dictate and the operation, mode of operation of those who are in the kingdom, who are in Christ Jesus, is spelled out in this Bible. It's spelled out here. So then, let's look first at Romans. We're going to go to Romans 5 and then Romans 8. Write those two passages down. Romans 5 first. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's King James. But I'm going to move over to the Amplified and read some out of the Amplified because it's important that we understand and have it clearly spelled out to us what was purchased by this new life. And this new life, this supernatural, powerful life of the believer is through faith in a true and living God. You receive Jesus by faith. You receive this new life by faith. Hallelujah. And if you believe you have received salvation, then you can believe by faith to receive this that salvation purchased. So then, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, reading from the Amplified, therefore we are justified, we are acquitted, we are declared righteous. See, you didn't earn it, but you were declared. When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that cloak of righteousness was put upon your back. You were declared righteous and given a right standing with God. See, when Adam fell, he was separated. He died spiritually, totally separated from God. Hallelujah. Have mercy. We don't want to live separated from God. We want to live connected with God. And the only way you can live connected with God is in Christ Jesus. When you receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are saved. You are placed in right standing with God. You are not only just placed in right standing, you are seated in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God. And you should operate and live from that seat. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp, catch a hold of this, the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, see, so many people think because of the life that they have lived to this point, to the point where they received Jesus, that life, because it was full of evil, it was full of terrible things that they might have done, that they have no way to God. But see, that's a lie from the devil. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are acquitted. You are made righteous. The old you is dead and buried with Christ Jesus, and you are raised with a new spirit in you to newness of life. You are not that person that sinned in the past. You don't know anything about that. Yes, the devil will try to bring to your remembrance what you did, but see, tell him you don't know that man because that man is dead. But a new man now lives in this body. A new person now is in residence in this body. Hallelujah. A new person connected to God, the Father. Hallelujah. Through Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 2 says, through him also we have our access, entrance, introduction, by faith. Notice everything from God is by faith. Everything that we receive from God is through your faith in God, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That he is, glory to God, and that Jesus has paid the price for you, that you are now engrafted, glory to God, into the family of God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. Introduction by faith into this grace. See, it's grace. It's his mercy. It's his unmerited favor, glory to God. The state of God's favor. We have been introduced into the state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exalt in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Because of this standard, because of receiving Jesus, new things, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are brand new. New. See, all you gone. The old things that you did are gone, wiped away. God doesn't even remember it anymore. When you repent and come to Jesus, God will not remember your past sins. Now, the enemy will try to make you remember, and you need to stand up and with a loud voice and say, no, that is not this person. That's an old person that no longer lives. Hallelujah. You can boldly say, this person has done nothing. Hallelujah. Same body, same mind, but new spirit. See, your spirit is the real you. The spirit of the person is the real you. Over in the beginning, we taught this before. God said, let us make man in our image. God is a speaking spirit. And in order to live in this earth realm, you got to have an earth suit. Just like when you go out in space, you got to have a space suit. Well, to live in this earth realm, you got to have an earth suit. See, that's the reason why the enemy tries to put sickness and disease on the people of God, so that he can destroy the earth suit and you can no longer be a witness for Jesus in the earth. But see, we are learning the word, how to operate in the supernatural power of the believer so that we can live above sickness and disease. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit later here. It says, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our suffering, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. Endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. See, this is it, who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. While we are yet weak, powerless to help ourselves. See, we can't help ourselves. We got to understand this new life as a believer is empowered by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We're not our own. We cannot help ourselves. We don't need to depend on ourselves. Our dependency for everything must be in God. And God, through Jesus, has sent the Holy Spirit of the living God to indwell us, to be our helper. He is our helper. Over in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John says, John 14 says in verse, in fact, I'll start reading in verse 12. It says, and I'm reading Amplified, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, this is Jesus talking, he will himself be able to do these things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father, and I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name. See, you got to go to the Father and ask him whatever it is that you have need of in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, He said, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Now, he said that one time, but he says it even again. He wants us to get it. Verse 14 says, yes, I will grant, I myself will do for you whatever you shall ask in my name as presenting all that I am. If you really love me, Jesus is saying, you will keep obey my commandments. Then he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. See, Jesus was their comforter. He was their help when he walked on the earth for the disciples. But as other disciples were made, it was expedient, he said. Let's look at verse 16. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, that he may remain with you forever. See, the Holy Spirit is in you when you become a new creature in Christ, and that he will remain with you forever. Hallelujah. You're never alone. Hallelujah. You have the greater one on the inside of you. verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. And then verse 26 of that same chapter says, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place. Listen, he's saying just what we said earlier. So Jesus said it was expedient that he go away, that the Father may send the Holy Spirit. So here he's saying that. But the comforter, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. See, it's important we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's important that we understand that when Jesus ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, that they did not leave us comfortless. Those of us who have made Jesus our Lord, or those of us, those who will make Jesus their Lord, the Holy Spirit will come into them. Hallelujah. And in verse 13 of the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 13, also talking about the Holy Spirit, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak of his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. Listen. Did you ever want to know what to do in a particular situation? See, this is a part of living that supernatural, powerful life of the believer. Jesus didn't leave us comfortless. He didn't want you wandering around in confusion. See, God is not the author of confusion. So he sent the Spirit of the living God to be in you, to teach you, to tell you, to guide you into all truth, to show you the whole truth about a situation. So you want to know the whole truth about a situation? You go to the Father in the name of Jesus and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need to know about this particular situation that has confronted me. I need to know what to do. So I tune in. I pray in the Spirit. So you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost comes in you. The Holy Spirit comes in you when you're born again. But there's a second experience called being filled with the Spirit so that you can be a bold witness for Jesus. That evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. That's your prayer language. See, the Bible says in tongues, you are praying a pure word to God, unhindered by your mind, because praying in the Spirit is not by the mind, it is by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you that language. That's another teaching, but we'll get to that at one point as we go through this series. But here it is again. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell you what he hears from the Father. He will give you the message that he has been given to him. And he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. Hallelujah. He will honor and glorify me, Jesus is talking, because he will take off, receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit to you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Hallelujah. And so it goes on there. You need to really read the Gospel of John, and you really need to read Romans and get these passages down in your spirit. So let's move now. We went down the way in Romans 5. You need to read that whole chapter. But I want to go over to Romans 8, which will give more insight into what God has done through Jesus and by his Spirit. See, this is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father until his enemies are made his footstool. Guess who the body of Christ is? That's us believers. And he says he's seated at the right hand of the Father until his enemies here on earth are made his footstool. And so we as believers must demonstrate supernatural power in living above situations and circumstances of life. We as believers must live that supernatural life so others can see that they don't have to be weighed down, that they don't have to be depressed and oppressed, that they don't have to live in sickness and disease, that they don't have to live in poverty, but they can live a supernatural, abundant life because God has planned paths to the good life for us to live in. Hallelujah. And that is living in Christ Jesus according to God's ways of doing and being right. So let's look at how we are to live because we are now free from the power of sin. Jesus said he's done that for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, in receiving Jesus, you have been the old man. I'm pausing again. In receiving Jesus, that old man is dead. The old man that lived the life of the flesh, that lived the life of sin, is dead. And when you receive Jesus by faith, a new spirit, as I said, the Holy Spirit comes into you and replaces the old dead spirit with a new spirit connected to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your spirit connected to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And really, Jesus, the Godhead, actually comes in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. But he could not come in with a dead spirit. Got to have a new spirit given by God, a spirit connected to God. Hallelujah. That gives us supernatural power to live above any situation, any circumstance. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says if you be in Christ, you are new creatures. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are brand new. Thank you, Lord. Now, going to Romans 8, I'm going to be reading in the Amplified. Well, I'll read the first verse in the King James, and then I'll go over to the Amplified. The first verse, Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's New King James. Now, Amplified says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging, guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who will live and walk and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. In other words, don't let your body, your mind, that is not being renewed, tell you what to do. See, the Bible, when we are born again and the new spirit comes in, our mind has not been born again yet, our solar realm. So the Bible tells us we are to renew our mind day by day. See, you put things in order. The order is the Holy Spirit, our solar realm, under the dictates of our spirit. See, our spirit loves God. Our spirit wants to do everything that God said. So our mind, our will, The solar realm includes our mind, our will, our emotion, our intellect. So those things, the enemy used that as his playground, his way of distracting you. So in order to prevent the enemy from distracting us in our mind, our will, and our emotion, the Bible tells us we are to renew our mind day by day with the Word of God. So let's say, you need to have a planned Bible reading and meditating time every day. But if you're challenged with a specific situation, like a sickness in your body or poverty, you need to get those scriptures that relate directly to that and renew your mind with those scriptures, because the scriptures tell us, in terms of sickness and disease, that Jesus redeemed us from the curse. It tells us, surely we have borne our grief. He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's Isaiah 53:4-5. 2 Peter 2:4 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. We were healed over 2,000 years ago. So the Bible also tells us in Psalm 107:20, he sent his word. God sent his word and healed us and delivered us, that was a past tense, from destruction. Delivered us from sickness and disease and destruction. So we have been delivered, so we have to renew our minds. And when the enemy says, no, you can't live, the Bible tells us what to do with those thoughts. Those thoughts that don't line up with God's word, we are to cast them down. The Bible says, casting down every evil imagination, every word that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So if it ain't good, it ain't God, and you need to cast it down. Don't think on that. Think on what the word says. The word says you're healed. The doctor says you got to die. Now you must make a choice. Who are you going to believe? If you believe God, the enemy can't kill you. Do you hear what I'm saying? You must declare, I am healed. I don't care what the doctor's report says. I don't care what it looks like or feels like. Yes, pain is real. But see, the word of God will overcome that pain. The word of God will overcome that pain. So you need to declare, I am the healed. I am the redeemed of the Lord. The Bible says over in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all of our iniquities, who healeth all of our diseases, who redeemeth our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. That's the word of the living God. And so you need to renew your mind with scriptures like this, so that when the enemy says, no, you're going to die, you say, no, God has already redeemed me. He delivered me from sin and my iniquities, and he healed all of my diseases. You have to lift your mouth and declare. See, faith has to be spoken out. You have to get the word in your spirit, and you have to meditate on the word, and you have to declare what God. Remember, we taught in times past, God is a speaking spirit. And the way God created things was by what he said. And the Holy Spirit acted on it. The Holy Spirit manifested. Well, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you if you're a Christian, and he's waiting for you to speak the things that God said in the face of what might be attacking you. See, this is called supernatural power of the believer, because God has given you the power to overcome every situation. You might say, but it's finances. You know, I believe about healing, but finances, where the money is going to come from? I don't know, but that's not your business. Your business is to declare that Jesus became poor so that you might be made rich. Hallelujah. Your word is to declare, all my needs are met according to God's riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God has said in his word over in Peter that I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. God said it, and he will manifest that if you will declare it. See, the Holy Spirit has to have the word of God to operate on. The Bible also tells us God has given us angels, ministering spirits sent to minister on behalf of the heirs of salvation. That's over in Hebrews 1, I think about verse 13 or 14. And then over in Psalms 103, down about the 20th through the 21st verse, it says that the angels of God are sent, and they hearken unto the voice of God's word. So if you're not declaring what God has said, they're not going to help you. You, every one of us who are born again, has God has assigned angels to take care of us. But they are only going to speak what God, they're only going to operate according to what God has said. Now, the Bible also tells us that life and death over in Proverbs is in the power of the tongue. Again, we are speaking spirit. So we must speak what God has said in order to have what God has said. See, if you speak what the enemy has said of what is not good, see, God is all good. God is not bad. Every good and perfect gift, every gift that God gives you is good and perfect. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And so sickness and disease, God is not passing that out. God is not putting the sickness on somebody to teach them something. God doesn't teach you anything with sickness and disease. Now, one thing, one good thing that will come out of this, if you are attacked with a sickness or if you're attacked with poverty, is by declaring God's word and seeing God's word manifested in your life. And that will demonstrate to the world that you are called of God and God's love for us, and it will draw people to Jesus. Every person that Jesus healed, when they were healed, the people gave glory to God. And that's what he wants to happen in this day and time now. So let's read on. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judging, guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own Son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, deprived it of its power over all who accept. That's powerful. Did you hear that? Now, because of the completed work of Jesus, when Jesus died and went to hell, he whooped up on the devil. He defeated the devil. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He took them. He whooped up on them. He made a show of them, triumphing over them in it. And so through this, it says, God condemned sin in the flesh. He subdued, he overcame, he deprived it of the power over all of us who accept his sacrifice. So sin and the product of sin, which is death, which is sickness, which is disease, which is poverty, which is all of the evils of the world, God has deprived it of the power over all who accept the sacrifice, over all of us who receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh. See, the flesh can no longer be in ascendancy. The flesh can no longer dictate about to us. We must remember the order, the Holy Spirit, our spirit, which is connected to the Holy Spirit, then our solar realm, our mind, our will, our emotions, then the flesh. See, the flesh will follow suit. You have to tell your flesh to shut up. It's not in ascendancy. But you follow the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He will speak to you, remember, and tell you what the Father has said. Hallelujah. He'll speak that to your spirit, and your spirit will give the orders to your mind, to your will and your emotions, to your soul around, and to your body. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So then again, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the way of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. You see that? That's what we're saying. The Holy Spirit is, and our spirit connected to the Holy Spirit, in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, in fellowship with God. Then our mind, our will, and our emotion, our solical realm, being renewed day by day with the Word of God, following the dictates of our spirit, and then telling our flesh what to do and what not to do. Hallelujah. Controlled by the Holy Spirit. I say every day, Father, I submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, to help me, to show me what to do, how to do, and how to do it. Verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by it, its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. See, the flesh will want to do things that you did in the past, but you have to rise up and say, no, flesh, you won't rule. I'm ruled by the Spirit of the living God who dictates to my spirit. Hallelujah. 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 But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. And so as you day by day get into the scriptures, reading the scriptures, renewing your mind, receiving it. See, when I read the scriptures, I say, Father, I believe I received this. It's so manifested in my life, and you need to do the same thing. You need to believe and embrace the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sick and reason without the Holy Spirit. Listen, sense realm, you know, what you see, hear, feel, taste, five senses. We have to, this is what we're calling moving, operating in the natural to operating in the supernatural, or operating by the Spirit of God. That's what we're talking about when we say the supernatural power of the believer. We're talking about the Holy Spirit being in us, our spirit being connected to the Holy Spirit, and our spirit being in ascendancy, dictated to our mind, our will, our emotion, and our flesh. Hallelujah. Being ruled by the Holy Spirit. Now the man of the flesh, which is sick and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. See, you get over into operating as you did when you had an old dead spirit disconnected from God. But we're connected. We're not operating in death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. Sickness, disease, abnormalities, poverty, destruction, both here and hereafter. See, notice here and hereafter. If you choose to go Satan's way, well, you're going to end up with Satan in the burning hell. But if you choose Jesus and the ways of God, you're going to end up operating above these terrible things here on earth and going to be with Jesus in heaven when all of this is over. Hallelujah. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. Notice he talks about the now and forever. See, when you're saved, you know, so many people think that the supernatural power living a good life is for when you get to heaven. Well, yes, that's true too, but it's also true for the here and the now. God did not appoint us to wrath. He appointed us to peace here on this earth, while we're here on this earth, so that people can see that we belong to God and that God enables us to live above. See, we don't care what the gas price goes to, but we don't care because God is our source. God is our provider. He is our Jehovah Jireh. We're not poor. We are rich in him, in him. Hallelujah. God said all your needs are met. But you say, I don't see it. Well, you need to believe him for it and stop saying you don't have. Just begin to say, I have more than enough. I am abundantly supplied. God meets all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Shall not want. Shall not want. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says, 1,000 may fall on one side, 10,000 on the other side, but it shall not come nigh you. See, plagues and destruction, lack and poverty shall not come nigh you. God makes a difference between his people and the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the word of the living God. You walk in this supernatural power by faith. Faith in a true and living God. Faith that God is true to his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And see, remember, he sent the Holy Spirit to help us. And he also assigned angels to help us. But you got to be speaking God's word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's law. It cannot. So then, those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please God or satisfy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or be acceptable to him. But you are not living the life of the flesh. Hallelujah. If you're born again, you are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you, then you have to submit to him. He is a person. You and I say every day, Father, I submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want him living in me. I want him directing my life. I want him to show me what to do and how to do, because I know he knows the end from the beginning. I know he knows what's best for me. We read earlier, he has planned paths to the good life. Now you have a choice to choose to go another way, a way different from what he said, and then that choice may lead you to destruction. But God has planned paths to the good life for us. So therefore, we need to stay tuned to the Spirit of the living God that we might walk in those paths to the good life and live above situations and above circumstances and walk in divine health and walk in divine wealth in the name of Jesus. But back to verse 9, but you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, then although your nature, body is dead by reason of sin, and guilt, the spirit is alive because of the righteousness he imputes to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That's a good scripture right there for anybody that's challenged with a sickness and disease. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit, same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells on the inside of you, and he quickens and he makes alive your mortal body. Hallelujah. You need to claim that. You need to meditate on that. You need to say, okay, the Holy Spirit is in me, so I'm just going to lean back in him. I thank you that, Father, that the life force of God is flowing through my veins, flowing through my nerves, to every cell, to every tissue, to every organ of my body, and it's purging out all sickness, all disease, all abnormality, going to every cell, every tissue, everything that's abnormal must go. Cannot stay, because the Spirit of the living God is on the inside of me, and he's flowing. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Well, we're going to stop there. This is such an outstanding teaching series. The Word of God is outstanding. Hallelujah. And we want to learn all that he says. See, you got to know this in order to walk in that supernatural power of belief. You got to know who you are, what has been purchased. And that's what we are endeavoring to point out to you. This new life, new life. You need to say out of your mouth, I have the new life of Christ on the inside of me. I live above sickness and above disease. I live above poverty and lack and financial defilement and debt. I live above it. Jesus demonstrated the will of God throughout his ministry. He even canceled debts that they owed. He paid the tax for them. So God is our source. He is our only source. Hear that? You need to say, God is my only source for everything that I have need of. And God has said, I have given them everything that pertains to life and godliness. Before we stop, I want you to just turn over to Peter so you can see and know that. You need to embrace that and just allow that to live big within you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Peter right quick here and see what's that. And read that scripture, because you need to know that God has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Pages are sticking together. Okay, here it is, 2 Peter chapter 1. King James says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge. Through understanding what the Word has to say about it. And that's what we're doing now, teaching you what the Word has to say about us living this new, powerful, supernatural life. I'm going to read that in the Amplified. May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being. Listen, perfect well-being. Is everything perfect in your life? If it's not, you need to get in this word, because God said perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You got to get in the word and understand what Jesus purchased for us. Verse 3, for his divine power has bestowed on us. Listen, you didn't work for it. He bestowed. He placed it on you like somebody placing a cloak on a coat of somebody. He said, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellent virtue. Listen, everything that you have need of, God has provided. But it is through, you receive it by faith through knowing what God has said about it and through your declaring what God has said about it, so that the angels of God can go to work on your behalf, so that the Spirit of God can go to work on your behalf. Remember, the Spirit of God is the creative force of God. And as you declare in faith what God says, the Bible tells us faith is the substance of those things hoped for, the evidence of those things not seen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're calling those things that be not as though they were, so they can be seen. Hallelujah. We got to stop now. Join us next week for the supernatural power of the believer, and we'll endeavor to continue along this line so we can learn what the scriptures are saying to us, so that we can embrace them and declare them manifested in our lives. If you have questions or want to call in for prayer, we are open for that. Please tune in next time. Call in number 213-943-3746. Love you. God bless. Have a great week.